Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Kirsten Greggs of Trap Recruiter. This is our second go-around. Good afternoon in your case, Kirsten. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me back, Mark. I'm very excited to continue the conversation and catch up with all that's been going on at Gaper.io.
Well, thank you. And thank you for joining us again. And how are things in Washington, D.C. today?
Today?
Yeah.
Well, the sun is shining.
Mm-hmm.
The weather is nice. Mm-hmm. And those are the nice things I have to say.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that.
Well, interesting. Last time we talked was in October of 2020, and nothing has changed since then, correct? It's the same old. No, I think things have changed a little bit. But why don't we, First of all, why don't you tell people what Trap Recruiter does? Give us a refresher.
Okay. So Trap Recruiter is a business that I started officially in 2017, in October of 2017, as a matter of fact. And I bridge the gap between job seekers and employers. So I have a career coaching side to my business that helps job seekers from a recruiter perspective. So I kind of like Vegas rules, like I teach them how recruiters find talent and how to position themselves in a way that recruiters can find them. And then for businesses, I mostly work with small companies who need talent acquisition support, either from a recruiting standpoint, meaning filling positions or smaller scale staffing. Or I also do process optimization, recruiting strategy, salary benchmarking, helping out with systems, process. I already said process. So yeah, I do a full service talent acquisition consulting and career coaching.
So you're like HR for a company, you'd be like HR for hire. Instead of hiring a full-time HR person, you would be.
But a full-time HR recruiter.
Yeah, and
a full-time recruiter or talent acquisition person to do operations or to do recruiting, meaning filling positions.
And last time we talked, I remember I asked you which one you do more of, and you said it depended upon the time of year. Is that still true?
It is. So I just finished up, in June, I finished up. My goal was to take the summer off, but that ended up not happening. I did not get the break that I promised myself. But I finished up a 9.5 month TA project with a large financial services company. I was recruiting for some highly visible positions and hire a lot of people, but it was tiring because as you know, hiring people can take a lot out of you. And carrying a full requisition load got to be a lot. So it was time for me to go. So yes. Yeah, so for the first half of the year, I was doing that. And then for the second half of the year, I've been very fortunate to work with some amazing small companies that are doing some really fun stuff. And that can include, like I said, you know, helping out with even job postings, helping them select a system that they're going to use for their applicant tracking or their candidate relationship management, doing salary benchmarking, or like I said, filling fun roles that I would not necessarily have access to with the companies that are in my area, you know, the people that I have the best or the longest standing relationships with, you know, hire for a different type of professional. So yeah, I've been having a good time this summer.
That's good.
Doing some fun things and stretching myself in ways that I'd never really thought I was interested in, to be quite honest.
Wow, that's cool. So it's interesting you bring that up because one of the things we at Gaper say is that, you know, people don't realize how hard it is to recruit good talent. And it's not like we need five people and it's like they're there that next Monday. What, I mean, how long do you think it really takes to let's just say five people. If you had to recruit five, you know, technical people, how long would that take?
Wow. In this climate, finding them, there's enough talent available.
Mm-hmm.
Connecting with them because of the level of experience that I have and the network that I have, I think I have a little easier time than someone who would just be starting out in technical recruiting. It's the closing them. It's the like getting them in the seat. Like, please start your first day. And even after that, you know, I can't be mad at job seekers and I can't be mad at companies because, like I said, I just left a company that I've taken people because the process that we had, you know, they might have started with us and with another company at the same time. And the other company's process was much quicker. And they got offered, they got an offer and perhaps we were a little slow to make it. And then, you know, we come back a month later, we're like, hey, are you still interested? And they're like, well, you know, I just started, or, you know, I have an offer for this. And then, you know, we did everything we could to get that, you know, to counter it and make it a little bit better. So, you know, I'm not going to say that, but yeah, there's a lot, especially in high demand technical fields, holding on to people, and getting them, like I said, to commit to your company and actually start, it has been the biggest challenge in this climate, because there are so many positions available. Access and opportunity is a lot more because a lot of companies are embracing more remote work for other disciplines outside of just like software engineering or recruiting, because a lot of recruiters are virtual and have been even before the beginning of the pandemic. So that's been the biggest challenge for me. Yes, it's hard. Recruiting is hard right now. It's like what I imagine the wild west was, because there's nothing that I didn't anticipate this. I've been through multiple recessions. I was working for a defense and intel contractor during September 11th. Ooh. So, you know, I've been through government shutdowns. If, like I said, most of my career was spent in defense contracting. So, you know, how many times did the government shut down during my professional lifetime? You know, having to do that, pull your folks off and, you know, find places for them and not knowing how long it's going to be, you know, the work stop is going to be, but nothing prepared us for the effects of what this pandemic created in the workforce.
Yeah. And let's go on. I mean, back in October of 2020, people were just getting used to remote work. You know, I mean, IT people had been doing it for a while. It was, you could see the uptick, but COVID just put it like the hockey stick curve, right? Now that people are used to it, are you finding that it, as a company, you almost have to offer remote as an option, at least part-time remote?
I think it has to be on the table. Yes. When it makes sense, obviously we know some roles just can't be remote.
Correct.
Well, when it makes sense. But again, I had a group of positions that were working with salespeople who are obviously very gregarious, who are visiting clients, you know, who are engaging with one another in the office, sharing best practices, you know, sharing their wins and their losses. And a lot of the salespeople, and I'm talking like at the director, senior director, VP level, like they wanted to be back in the office. They were eager to get back to, you know, that collaboration and having someone like literally sitting next to them or that they could go to lunch with or, you know, whatever. So it depends. Early on, as I mentioned on the first time I was on, I deal a lot with early career and moving people from internships to their full-time jobs. So I was worried about the early career people who had never worked in an office and who maybe spent their last year of college remote and who did their internship remotely and that had no idea what it was to like be, again, like I said, in an office environment with someone or be expected to actually go to a team building or go to a conference, or like they just did not have that experience. So I was worried about that and how that transition was going to be. But I do think hybrid work in the white collar, in most white collar professions should be an option. And I say that because, again, most of our large tech companies are centralized geographically in the same place. You know, most of our defense contractors are centralized in the same mm-hmm. place. You know, most of our startups are centralized in the same place. Finance companies, where are they? I mean, like, we know where these hubs are for things. And it's not like you don't have professionals outside of those areas who are capable and able to do those jobs. So anytime you can offer a remote option, I think it opens you up to a broader candidate base, and people who would be historically excluded will have more opportunity and more access to your roles.
Mm-hmm. And I actually think you talked about, you know, junior tech people. I think it does help them to be around more senior people. I think in any mm-hmm. profession, but I think, you know, tech people tend to like to stay home and tend to like to be a little more to themselves. But I think it really does help to be next to that person with a little more skill. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, and again, like you just said, you know, I came up in the, you know, with cybersecurity was really starting to be, you know, the hot thing even before they figured out that everything was cybersecurity. It wasn't just, you know, pen testing. It wasn't just analysts looking for vulnerabilities. Like, we needed software engineers, you know, we needed hardware people. We needed all of that. And it said a lot when, you know, there were folks, when the younger people could come into the lab and just watch mm-hmm. and just sit and be there, you know, and it didn't take away from the work that the more senior people had to do. Cause you know, that happens. You're like, oh, I don't have time, you know, and you know, I got to move around this meeting and I got to do this. And, you know, it becomes sometimes a little like, you know, like, do I really have to mentor this person? But being co-located allows for more of that in a way that's a little less time consuming, I'll say.
Yeah. And it's interesting you brought up cybersecurity. Like, I get young kids today ask me, you know, that are in college taking computer science, and they're like, mm-hmm. what field should I go into? And I'm like, well, if I were you, I'd go into cybersecurity right now. That's the highest demand thing out there. Would you agree?
I think cyber is still so big because, like I said, it's now opened up to other disciplines. It's not just, like I said, doing security engineering work. It is software. It's everything now.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing that I think has happened since COVID is, and this was already starting, but you're starting to see parts of the world, let's just say South America, Eastern Europe, they're starting to train their kids. They're going heavy into tech on the training. Mm-hmm. Right. And there's a whole talent pool out there. I mean, India was the first successful country to do it, and they've been doing it successfully for a good 20 years now. But now you're starting to see other parts of the world. And one of the things about South America is, you know, they're on the same time zone as a lot of American cities, which does certainly help. Right. So do you see more and more companies starting to look to other parts of the world for their talent, for not just tech, but talent in general?
Mostly tech. But that's more a function of the type of businesses that I've supported. Mm-hmm. So I can't speak for healthcare. I can't speak for non-technical industries. So, but yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And what do you, like, going forward now, we've pretty much weathered the storm, according to our president, the pandemic is over. We'll see if that's true. What do you see going forward for Trap Recruiter? So, you know, because it's wide open now. People are still trying to figure out what's going to be.
Trap Recruiter, the person and the business, because they are one and the same. Mm-hmm. It's still very, I'm still getting comfortable with the old way I socialized. Mm-hmm. Or I should say, maybe I should, I haven't figured out how to modify my socialization in a way where it doesn't cause me to have anxiety and think that I'm going to, you know, catch COVID and, you know, no one will know for however long, because I've just been laying in a house for 4 days and, you know, unable to anything. Mm-hmm. But going forward, I do see Trap Recruiter getting back out there slowly. I want to get back to my friends, especially in the HR stratosphere, you know, going to conferences, not just doing them remotely. I'm feeling comfortable with that. I did one thing this year in person with a veterans group, but it's something that I do every year. And I was part of their first cohort. So I couldn't turn them down, but I did let them know that I was anxious about it. And they made every concession for me so that I felt comfortable, and I appreciated that, and they appreciated me. So I'm just going to keep going. I mean, this will be my fifth year, my fifth year anniversary. I'm going to continue to do live shows. Perhaps I will get back into or be truly committed to doing a podcast of sorts, not just a live show every week. I'm open to coming out and speaking in public again on big stages, doing trainings, and just really continuing to help recruiters be better recruiters. Now, that was one of the huge benefits for me, with everybody being what I called in my office, so everybody mm-hmm. having to come home. It gave me much more opportunities to serve as that subject matter expert on a lot more things that perhaps people would overlook me for because I'm a one-person company, or because they just didn't know who I was, or, you know, because, you know, they were focused on everything that was going on over here when, you know, when I'm over there. So it leveled the playing field a lot more for me and put me in a position where a lot more people know who Trap Recruiter is, what Trap Recruiter does, and they, and even more so, trust me to provide insight and to provide talent acquisition excellence.
And that's true. I mean, you think about it, since everything went, you know, people were meeting like this on a regular basis, where before you might have had to drive to a meeting or fly to a meet. You could do 4 or 5 meetings in a day, right? So it did make you more effective.
Absolutely. Yeah. I like to, well, no, I don't. I'll say I like to fly and I don't. But if Gaper ever wants to host anything in Napa Valley, I'd be very happy to come out to the wine country and visit, see what's out there.
We're talking about doing something in October, and we're about an hour from Napa Valley, so you never know. We'll see.
There you go.
You can talk afterwards. Well, well, Kirsten, it was great catching up with you. Sounds like things are going well, and it sounds like you're starting to get back out there.
I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do my best.
And maybe a nice trip to Napa Valley will be what does it. That'll get you. I don't like to travel. I like to travel. I don't like to get on planes.
I definitely understand that.
Yes.
From what I understand, the airline industry isn't doing its best right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually my father was a pilot, but it's just like,
oh, nice.
But, it's just the, you know, right. It's being cramped in this little thing and everything that goes with, I like it when we land.
I agree.
So, and I like it when I get back home to bed.
You go.
Well, again, thank you again, and have a great rest of your week.
Thank you.